Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five. We're raising our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during the demise of Western civilization. And we are home educating for a reason. We certainly are seeing a breakdown of character in the nation, a breakdown of educational systems, a breakdown of our economic systems. And we're thinking it's time that parents step up and do something different. Dave Buhner, by the way, also in studio with us today, another homeschool father of five. And today we're going to talk about what's going on in the public schools today. And I know we refer to public schools on a regular basis. Number one, not because we want to refer to the public schools ourselves, but because the public schools make it to the front page of the newspaper almost every other day for the kinds of things that are going on there, whether it be sexual abuse between the students, sexual abuse of teachers towards the students, or school shootings. And Dave, I think schools are more dangerous than they've been ever before. You remember I told the story of the little girl in Richmond, California, who was a subject to the a horrendous attack on the part of a bunch of males. It was about 2 years ago during homecoming dance evening, and her father had left her there without a chaperone that night, and a horrible thing ensued. Well, schools are very, very dangerous because people are dangerous, and I think people are more dangerous than they've been in a long time. And that may be because we are a fair distance from a biblical way of looking at society and life. And here we have this story from Ohio. I'm sure many of you have heard of the story already, where a young man apparently began firing into a cafeteria and shot a number of people. Now, a third student has died as a result of that school shooting in Ohio. Dave, these are pretty frightening situations, and perhaps another reason why people ought to be homeschooling.
It's perhaps a good reason for people to be homeschooled. It's certainly not the only one, and certainly not the best one.
Yeah.
Schools have become physically more dangerous. Mm-hmm. They've always been spiritually dangerous. I mean, they're a dangerous idea to begin with. That's my opinion, and you can quote me on that. The idea of public schools is a dangerous idea.
Dave, I remember I was homeschooled, of course, up until I was in the fifth grade. In the fifth grade, spent a year at a Christian school and rode public school buses in order to get to this Christian school in Grants Pass, Oregon. Well, there was one particular point at which I think it was on the return trip that we would stop at a junior high, and there were these fights going on at this junior high, and it really frightened me. I couldn't figure out what was going on. At one point, some kid came up to me and threatened me and wanted to fight with me, and it's the first time in my life I'd ever been threatened, first time in my life I've ever been lured into a fight, and I tried to avoid it, and by God's grace was able to avoid it. The bus driver showed up at the right time, and the guy took off. But Dave, you know, I mean, it was a shock to my system. Here is a little 10-year-old kid, a little crew-cut, towhead kid, you know, threatened by some junior high kid, some big bully from a public school. I'd never in my life, Dave, had I ever run into that kind of thing. And that kind of thing is fairly common, of course, at public schools. This bullying is something that goes on a fairly regular basis in these schools, and the bullying can lead to this kind of violence. Evidently, we have some witnesses that say that this young man had been bullied sometime in the past. Don't know when it was, but apparently this boy was subject to some bullying, and the response was to evidently let loose on these people with some firepower.
Well, you're living in a time when we're in a death culture. Let's put it that way. We're in a death culture. That is, we're a culture that kills babies. We're in a culture that's right now playing with the idea of euthanasia. We're a culture that finds entertainment in death.
Yeah.
The more people die in the video games or in the Gladiator movie, the more entertaining we seem to make it, the more we accept it as entertaining. And we're in a culture that is surrounded by death, in a culture that doesn't love our Lord. And I think that's the key. See, when you're not a culture that loves the righteousness of God, the Bible says those who hate me will love death. And that's right where we're at. So it's not surprising in a culture that loves death that from time to time some students are going to take up arms and they're going to make the video game reality.
You're right, Dave. And I think what you see a common thread through all these school killings that I have seen, at least for the last 20 years or so, is that these kids come from dysfunctional families. In this particular situation, this young man who's been accused of this thing has come from a father and a mother who evidently engaged in some violent abuse between each other, and his father has spent some time in prison. So you got a dysfunctional family situation. You've got psychotropic drugs almost inevitably. Also, these violent video games seem to play a very important part in children eventually running out and trying to act out things that they've learned on the computer games. This kind of thing fairly common today, my friends. And I'm going to say that that not everybody who plays the violent computer games are going to wind up mowing people away in post offices and schools. That's probably not going to be the case, but often it will be the case. At least those that that take a notion to do such things as these things. Folks, here's a little history on school shootings, by the way. This may help to give you a clue on what's going on in schools over the last couple hundred years. Through the 1700s and 1800s, you had typical accidents. You had people committing suicide. You had murders of individuals. People get angry. They kill people. This has happened since the beginning of time, since Cain killed Abel. So not unusual. So you get that for the first 200 years or so of this nation's education history, from 1700s to 1800s. Occasionally, a young man would knock off a teacher, or somebody who hated somebody else in a schoolyard would knife somebody. This kind of thing would happen. I mean, this is not unusual, and we're not going to be surprised if an occasional story of a murder happens here or there. But it's only been in the last 100 years where you get these rather severe massacres. And the first massacre occurred in 1927, where a crazy man blew up a school using dynamite. That was the very first massacre where I think 20, 30 people were killed in that situation. Some crazy man that did it was not a kid, was a grown man. Also in 1966, Charles Whitman, a University of Texas Austin man, massacred some 16 people there. Now, the first kid, though, ever to engage in a massacre, that is a high school student, the first high school student ever to engage in a massacre in a public school was Anthony Barbaro in 1974. He was 17 years old. He killed three at his high school. There were two more in the 1970s. There was a 15-year-old neo-Nazi and a 16-year-old girl from Michigan. But since then, you've had a major rash, a major increase. Okay, in the 1970s, you had three incidences. In the 1970s, in 10 years, you had three incidences. But in the 1980s, the 1990s, and the last decade, you have seen an incredible number of kids killed in these massacres. In fact, since 1992, from 1992 to 2000, 233 people were killed in homicides. In November of 1995, a 17-year-old boy shot and killed a student and a teacher with a .22 rifle. Also, Moses Lake, Washington, two students and one teacher was killed and wounded when 14-year-old Barry Lukaitis opened fire in his algebra class. And then in October 1, 1997, two students killed and seven wounded by Luke Woodham, 16, who also was accused of killing his mother. He and his friends were said to be outcasts who worshipped Satan. November 27, 1997, something happened down there in West Palm Beach, Florida. West Paducah, Kentucky, three students were killed. Five were wounded by Michael Parneal, 14, as they participated in a prayer circle at Heath High School. And you get, Dave, just about one every year, actually three, four, five in 1997. In 1998, of course, you had the Jonesboro, Arkansas massacre. Four students, one teacher killed, 10 others wounded outside of Westside Middle School when Mitchell Johnson and Andrew Golden shot at their classmates and teachers from the woods. And then, of course, in 1999, April 20th, Littleton, Colorado, 14 students, including shooters and one teacher, killed, 27 others wounded at Columbine High School at the nation's deadliest school shooting to that point. Eric Harris, 18, and Dylan Klebold, 17, had plotted for a year to kill at least 500 and blow up their school. Well, ladies and gentlemen, mass murders have become common for teenagers since 1974. You didn't see this kind of thing happen in the 1800s and the 1900s. It's happened just over the last 25 to 30 years. Schools, Dave, I believe are more dangerous. Kids kill for random reasons today. Part of the reason for this may be the same reason why you had the random killings in the 1920s. I don't know if you remember, there was two young college students that went and randomly picked out a young boy, 13, 14 years of age, and they killed him. And they killed him, they said, for evolutionary reasons. They believed that they were just pointing out that they were the superior species and they were trying to eliminate the lesser species. And that was something that affected Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris. Do you remember when they descended on Columbine High School with T-shirts to emblazon natural selection? And just prior to that, maybe 6 months earlier, you had Dylan Klebold enter into his online blog that he wished that natural selection would take its course, and they did the best that they could in order to bring that about. So I think part of this, it may be that these kids are disenfranchised by their families. They may be on psychotropic drugs, as was, I think, the case for Harris and Klebold. But Dave, I think part of it is the worldview that's been taught since the 1920s, the evolutionary worldview that has been taught. By the way, Dave, it was Clarence Darrow who was the attorney in the Leopold and Loeb trial, and he defended those men. Why? Because Clarence Darrow was the evolutionist attorney who fought in the Scopes trial against William Jennings Bryan for an evolutionary perspective being taught in the public schools. So again, Clarence Darrow understood the importance of evolution. He understood what these young men, Loeb and Leopold, had done in taking this random young boy and killing him in cold blood because he was a lesser species. Clarence Darrow understood this, and that's, of course, the Clarence Darrow that fought very hard for evolution in the Scopes trial in the 1930s. Well, ladies and gentlemen, ideas have consequences. Clarence Darrow certainly understood this, and he understood that young men have a right to do this kind of thing. And when society comes to the conclusion that there is no God and that we are just species in a tooth and claw, blood and tooth and claw kind of a society where it's the fittest that survives, when you have that kind of viewpoint taught in the biology classes and in the political science classes and the philosophy classes, you can bet your life you're going to have men like Harrison Klebold descend upon Columbine High School and work their murder. Ladies and gentlemen, ideas have consequences. And since 1974, we have seen many, many, many instances where these men, these young men, sometimes young ladies, will not respect human life, and they will engage in these bloody massacres. And you can expect these bloody massacres to continue in the public schools where kids are taught all the time they're cosmic dust. They are nothing but cosmic dust in a universe of pure chance. And if you're just cosmic dust, then who cares if one piece of cosmic dust blows away another piece of cosmic dust? Who gives a flying rip for that? Ladies and gentlemen, we actually have a different worldview. We believe that there is a law. We believe that that law says thou shalt not murder, and that law was given by God in heaven. And God will not hold them guiltless who take his law and throw it to the wind. Ladies and gentlemen, God created us in his image. We ought to respect the nature of man that was created in the image of God. And if so, if we teach our children to do so, and if that nature is respected in public schools across America, and thou shalt not murder, signed God, is placed on walls all across this country in public schools, you're going to see less murder. You're going to see less people eventually breaking out and engaging in these bloody massacres in public schools in America. Well, before we take a break, Dave, one more story here. And this is, again, happening in public schools up in Canada. Homeschooling families in Canada are now being instructed not to teach that homosexual acts are sinful. And that's according to the Alberta government. LifeSite News came out with this just a few days ago. Under Alberta's new Education Act, homeschoolers in faith-based schools will not be permitted to teach that homosexual acts are sinful as part of their academic program, says the spokesperson for Education Minister Thomas Lukuszak. Whatever the nature of schooling, homeschool, private school, Catholic school, we do not tolerate disrespect for differences, says Donna McCall, Director of Communications. You can affirm the family's ideology in your family life. You just can't do it as part of your educational studies instruction. Dave, what she's saying is that, okay, if you're doing some academic stuff, you've got to separate the Word of God from it. You cannot allow a religious perspective, at least a Christian perspective, to infect what you're teaching, because remember, you're going to separate what happens in academic instruction from what happens in theological instruction. This is pure Aquinas. It goes back to the 1200s. But ladies and gentlemen, the point is that we teach all the time that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge in the history class, in the biology class, in the science classes, in the chemistry classes, in the geography classes. The fear of God is the beginning of all knowledge, not just theological knowledge. It's the beginning of knowledge in all knowledge. And Dave, what you get here is this separation, this dualistic way of thinking, that somehow we're going to teach what the government says about homosexuality for the 5 minutes, and then we're going to switch gears, we're going to go to the Bible, and we're going to say, okay, we're going to stop educating you for right now, we're going to stop doing anything involving the intellect, and we're going to go into the spiritual realm, which doesn't involve the intellect, and we're going to teach you what the Bible says about homosexuality. Oh, by the way, it's an abomination. Those that do these sorts of things ought to be put to death. Okay, that's what the Bible says. Obviously, the Bible has a contention with the government of Alberta says. So, kids, I guess you're going to have to work it out in your own mind. See, I think that's the kind of thing they want taught in these homeschools in Alberta. It's not going to work for them. And Dave, it may lead to more tyranny. In just a moment, I'm gonna phone Paul Ferris, who is the president up there at Canada's Homeschool Legal Defense Association. We're gonna get to the bottom of this issue and find out how this might be abrogating homeschooling rights in the province of Alberta.
Are you tired of running the corporate rat race? Are you struggling to make healthcare choices? Are you looking for a better job? Maybe even a job that your entire family can be involved in? Do you want to take your family to the next level? The 2012 Family Economics Conference is designed to help family with the vision and resources to make practical steps to build their family's economy. From practical household budgeting and finance to starting your own business, to making wise decisions about college and career preparation. The Family Economics Conference has something for everyone. There will even be a special Proverbs 31 track for the ladies' role in the family economy. For more information, or to sign up online, go to www.familyeconomics2012.com. That's familyeconomics2012.com.
And welcome back to the Generations Broadcast today, friends, as we talk about what's going on north of the border. Canada has a very healthy home educating population. In fact, it probably is the second largest homeschooling population in the world right now, with Mexico being a close third. And, of course, Australia and England also having a homeschool population. But Canada is an important country when it comes to home education. And I'm so happy that Paul Ferris is heading up the Homeschool Legal Defense Association in Canada. They've done a very good job retaining some homeschool freedoms there in the nation of Canada throughout all the provinces. And now Paul is with me to talk about what's going on with Alberta right now. And Paul Ferris, welcome back to our program, my friend.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Paul, I mean, we're sort of surprised that this law is being considered in Alberta that would restrict family freedoms in relation to how they teach their children about homosexuality, and I'm sure other things as well.
Yeah, it came as a bit of a surprise to us as well. There are a great number of homeschoolers in Alberta, and this is just quite a surprising development.
Yeah, in fact, is it fair to say that Alberta has one of the largest homeschool populations in Canada?
Yeah, certainly in relation to its population size, mm-hmm. I would say it has one of the largest populations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where did the law come from? Where did this come from? Did it come from a legislature or from an administration in the state or in the province of Alberta?
Yeah, well, what's happened is the Alberta government has decided to completely remake their education laws. So they had a school act which regulated all education in the province, and they're replacing that with this new education act. Now, HSLDA watches new legislation that comes on in every province, and so we, along with our provincial partners, saw this and saw the concerns in it, and so we brought it to the attention of our members. You know, it's one of those things where we see governments, they pass this huge big bill, and buried in it are concerning pieces. And this is really just one section, Section 16, that mandates these requirements.
Mm. And the requirements are to restrict families in how they teach about certain lifestyles, including the homosexual lifestyle. And it's not just homosexuality, though, it might include other things as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just maybe take you to this section because it really kind of becomes clear in that. Now, the first concern in Alberta is the structure of their law. Most places, when you homeschool, you're exempted from the compulsory education requirements, and in order to obtain that exemption, you have to fulfill certain requirements. In Alberta, it's different. And this is part of the problem, that they've defined homeschooling as, quote, school. So you're not getting an exemption from the public school requirement. You are fulfilling the school requirement. And so if you look at the definition of school in the Act, both the old and the new, it includes, quote, a parent providing a home education program. Now, that's very important when we look at this new Section 16 because it says all courses or programs of study offered and instructional materials used in a school, which we know includes homeschooling, must reflect the diverse nature and heritage of society in Alberta, and here's the key word, promote understanding and respect for others and honor and respect the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which is sort of like your Bill of Rights in the States. And here's the other problem, the Alberta Human Rights Act. And this human rights legislation is where we're seeing so many anti-Christian initiatives coming from. So what this means is the long arm of the government is going to be reaching into individual families' homes and telling them what they can communicate to their own children in their own homes on issues like religion, on issues like sexuality, on issues of morality. And that is clearly going too far.
Yeah. And, of course, they're trying to restrict it to the schooling part of what the families are doing in these home schools and trying to maintain the freedom to do perhaps other things outside of this schooling. The problem with most of us homeschoolers is we tend to integrate this into an all-day experience for our children. You know, we don't just stop schooling all of a sudden just because it's time for lunch. You know, we continue to educate. So we don't have that bifurcation, I think, that the state schools often think of.
Exactly. And that's where really this is so much worse for homeschoolers than even for public school students, because at least for them, they go to school and they get this, education that their parents don't want them to have. But at least they can go home at the end of the day and it doesn't apply anymore. But for homeschoolers, where do you draw that line? I mean, when a family gets up in the morning and they read the Bible at breakfast time, is that part of their school curriculum? Is that part of their home life? What happens if they put a course on Bible as part of their homeschooling requirements? How do they deal with that? It could all potentially come under this section. Yeah. At the very least, it means that when a family submits a homeschooling plan, it cannot include anything that would fall under this section, and that's clearly going too far.
Yeah. For example, a family may choose to teach something of what the government teaches concerning homosexuality, for example. So you spend 2 to 3 minutes saying this is what the government teaches, and now you say, okay, let's go, turn to the Bible and see what the Bible teaches. And I guess at that point, school would have to stop, okay, because we're going to talk about what the Bible teaches. Now, do you see, children, how the Bible contradicts what the government says about this and this? This is what the government says. This is what the Bible says about respecting and loving others, because they are made in the image of God. But this is also what the Bible says about homosexuality being an abomination and a sin. So, here we are teaching something of the Bible. We're teaching something of what the government says. And it would be impossible for a Christian not to point out that there sometimes are differences between what the Bible says and what the government says about X, Y, or Z.
Exactly. The beauty of homeschooling is that you can integrate your beliefs into every element of what you teach, that you can integrate your life into everything you teach, that you can really be teaching your children as you walk by the way and when you rise up and when you sit down. And this section just throws a huge, huge problem right into the middle of that.
Now, let's be clear about this. This is not law as of yet, but is it moving in that direction?
It is moving in that direction. It has passed first reading. It's up for second reading this coming Monday, March 5th.
Okay.
And if it passes second reading, then it probably goes to committee. Then it still needs to pass third reading and then be proclaimed into law. Of course, this is introduced by a government that has a majority, so they must agree to change it. They can force through whatever they want to. So it's our hope, and certainly we would want anyone from Alberta especially, to call the government, call the Minister of Education, call their MLA, their member of the Legislative Assembly, and tell them their concerns about this, share their concerns, and ask them to change how this affects homeschoolers.
Yeah, apparently the Progressive Conservative government has 67 out of 83 seats in that parliament, and that could be difficult for homeschooling. Is the direction of Alberta towards more of a secularism, or is it going to move back towards a conservative end of things?
Well, there's there's actually an election coming up, and it's going to be a little bit interesting what happens there, because the party that's getting the second number of votes is the Wild Rose Party, which is a right-of-center party, certainly right of the Conservatives. So this is something that should be of concern to the Conservative government right now, because if they go too far to the left on this, if they alienate the right, they could find themselves out of office.
Paul, how in the world could they enforce a law like this? I mean, I think that is almost a more concerning than anything else, because how in the world would they know if homeschooling families are playing by the rules?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's one that I would like to laugh off and say there's no way they can do it. Unfortunately, we have seen increasingly in so many areas where the government is reaching into individual homes. A couple ways they can do that. First, and the easiest for them, is every family in Alberta has to submit an education plan, and they can scrutinize that and look for anything that might in any way violate the government-approved teaching on sexuality and religion and any of these other issues. But even more than that, we're seeing governments intervening more and more in family lives in areas like child and family services, where they really are actually going into families' homes and seeing how the children are taught. And all it would take is one investigation where the worker is actually talking to the children and then makes a call to the local school or to the attendance counselor, and family could find themselves in trouble for this.
The battle for family freedoms is very important, and you certainly are waging this in Canada. The battle's not over yet, is it?
It is not. Good people across the country, across Canada, across the U.S. are standing up, and I'm encouraged that we are going to see change and improvements in these areas.
Paul, I get the sense that something is happening in Canada. There are so many families in contact with us who are homeschooling today. Is this a growing trend?
It is, yeah. It's growing, and, you know, I'm so encouraged because the well-quoted term by Edmund Burke, you know, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men and women to do nothing. And we are seeing more and more families educating their children at home, taking that personal responsibility for their children's values, their morality, their education. And when something like this is introduced, they're standing up, they're making those calls, they're writing those letters. And I think we can change countries this way.
Amen. That's our hope, and that's what we're doing here south of your border as well. Paul Ferris, president of Homeschool Legal Defense Association Canada, with us today on the Generations Broadcast. Paul, thanks so much for spending time with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Critical battles, my friends, being waged all over the world today. Tough battles, but critical battles for the cause of family freedoms. If families will survive, they have to be free. If the faith will survive, we have to have some measure of freedom. And we need to pray to God that He would help us in these areas. In some areas, these freedoms are being lost. The battle is hardly being waged at all in Sweden, Germany, Brazil. Hardly being waged and being lost. But in some places like Canada and England, there are good men and women hanging on to what little remnants of freedom they have left for themselves. In America, thanks be to God, we're a little ahead of the pack. But as Paul said, the only way for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And that's why we continue to broadcast and encourage the troops on this Generations Radio broadcast. Folks, you can interact with the radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for faith, family, and freedom for the next generation.